Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity just to share your story of grace in my life. Lord, I just pray that you would calm my nerves right now, and you would just give me the ability just to speak clearly and remind me that it's not about me, this is about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, my name is Laura. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from insecurity, food addiction, and guilt and shame. Hi. I grew up in a Christian home. We were at church several times a week, and I remember learning about God from an early age. When I was 7 years old, I attended Vacation Bible School at our church, and it was at this time that I truly understood that I was a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I was fairly shy and was too scared to walk up to the front during the invitation like some of the other kids, but I wanted a relationship with God. A few weeks later, I told my grandpa about it. He read the Bible with me, and I prayed to accept this free gift of salvation. As a young child, I very much wanted to know God. It was simple then. I understood that he loved me, and I loved him. Growing up, I always knew that my parents loved me. My mom stayed at home with my brother, sister, and me, and she was always there for us. My dad worked very hard to provide for our family, and he took time to play with us and teach us all sorts of things. He never missed a soccer game, piano recital, choir concert, or other event. Some of my best memories are of family vacations and camping trips. Though my dad was lots of fun and very loving, he was also very angry and would burst into fits of rage. This would result in him throwing something, hitting something, or at times physically hurting one of us kids. I grew up in fear of this man. I felt that he was two different people, and I never knew what would set him off and turn him into a different person. My response was to shut down. I withdrew and did not share with my parents or others how I was feeling. The only person I talked about it with was my sister. We were very close growing up, and she was an incredible source of comfort for me. I also turned to God with the confusion and pain. I prayed and read his word. Verses like Psalm 9:9 were very comforting to me. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. But God was not the only one I turned to for comfort. I also turned to food. Even as young as 8 years old, I remember sneaking food and not wanting others to know what or how much I was eating. I was overweight, and my brother constantly made fun of me for my weight, calling me all sorts of names and intentionally humiliating me in front of others. My brother bore the brunt of my dad's anger, and so I knew that he was only a hurting child, looking for some way to deal with his hurt, and so he hurt me. I felt a deep sense of shame for being overweight and for how I looked, and most of the time I did not like myself. As I grew into my teen years, my insecurity grew, and I looked for approval, attention, and affection from guys. I was no longer overweight, and I loved the attention. I longed to be wanted, and my identity was wrapped up in whether or not guys liked me. As a result, I compromised my beliefs and made many bad decisions in physically inappropriate relationships. I eventually turned to the Lord and sought forgiveness, but the lies I believed about God kept me in an unhealthy cycle. When I would mess up in some way that I thought was unacceptable, I would run from God. I thought he was angry with me, and I viewed him as being harsh and angry like my father. And then when the pain would get too great from the running, I would turn back to God, and the cycle would begin again. This went on for years. I carried so much guilt and shame from my poor decisions, and I could not fully accept God's forgiveness. This performance-based mentality was evident in many areas of my life. I always did very well in school and was involved and got good grades. I was in show choir, took piano lessons, was in the National Honor Society, and was very involved in our youth group at church. To mess up in any of these areas was unacceptable in my mind. Though I didn't realize it at the time, I believed that messing up somehow made me unworthy or unlovable. To others, I appeared that I was doing great. My friends didn't have a clue that I often just wished I would die. I did not share with them what was going on at home. My junior year of high school, my dad started going to counseling, and he started to change and control his anger some. This counselor also told me that some of my dad's behavior had been abusive, but I didn't know what to do with this information. I was shocked and confused. When I left home for college, my insecurity only got worse. I finally got away from home and thought everything would be better, but what I realized is that I couldn't get away from myself. I pretty much hated everything about myself and became very depressed. My childhood had been great in many ways, but it was also filled with fear and insecurity, and now I was this insecure and fearful girl. I had a hard time making new friends at this small university, and I felt awkward in that I didn't fit in. The insecurity was evident in many ways. I would skip certain classes because I was deathly afraid of being called on to answer a question in class. If I didn't know for sure that one of my friends would be at the cafeteria, I would eat in my dorm room. The thought of not knowing anyone to sit with in the cafeteria was terrifying to me. Eventually, I transferred to a large university, and it was much more comfortable to me to feel like I could just disappear in the crowd. I continued to grow in my relationship with the Lord during my college years, but I was still trying to find my significance and worth in dating relationship. I caused myself and others so much pain because of my sinful decisions. After a very painful breakup from a guy I thought I would marry, I knew that I had to make a change. I committed to God that from then on, I would not date anyone who did not love and seek Christ more than anything or anyone else. As a result, I didn't date for 2.5 years. It was very hard at times, especially as many of my friends were getting married, and I felt very lonely. But this also caused me to turn to the Lord more, and my relationship with Him became sweeter and more fulfilling. A couple of years after graduating from college, I started attending Dallas Theological Seminary. It was a wonderful time of learning and growth, as well as an incredibly difficult time. I was constantly overwhelmed by the workload for my classes, as well as my job and trying to survive financially. My insecurity was also more evident during this time than it had been in years. It felt like my freshman year of college all over again. I was awkward and had a hard time making new friends. I was deathly afraid of being called on by the professor in class, so much that the fear and anxiety caused me some serious stomach issues, which then caused me to miss class. As a consequence, I didn't learn as much as I should have. But the Lord was with me, and I did make some good friends. While on a school trip to Israel, I also met Mark, who 1 year later would become my husband. He has been one of the biggest blessings in my life, and through our 6 years of marriage, I have grown and changed in ways that I never thought were possible. The Lord is using him to help me finally break free from the lies I have believed about myself for so long. Mark just keeps loving me. Just when I think surely I have failed too severely for him to accept or forgive me, he does just that. He has always loved and accepted and forgiven me, and it is allowing me to finally see a bit of how Christ views and treats me. God is not angry and harsh and rejecting me when I mess up. He loves me, forgives me, and offers grace. My thoughts and feelings toward God were not based on truth. Truth says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Psalm 145, 8 through 9. Since getting married, life has been a whirlwind. I graduated from seminary, had 2 babies, and was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis. In the midst of such joy, there was a tremendous amount of pain. I still could not figure out why I struggled so much in my relationship with the Lord. I was also struggling with my weight again, and this led to a very dangerous cycle. I would make a plan for how I was going to lose weight, follow it for a week or two, and then mess up and beat myself up for not being able to do it. It would turn into this incredible frustration, anger, and self-hate. 3 weeks after my second child was born, my rheumatoid arthritis was so bad that I could barely walk. I was in constant pain and was terrified that I would not be able to take care of my children. At the same time, I was suffering from fairly severe postpartum depression. This combination of physical pain and intense emotional and mental turmoil was too much to bear. I absolutely hated who I was, hated my life, and was so angry at God. I could not walk by a mirror without verbally destroying myself, telling myself how fat and ugly I was. I felt I was failing at everything. I cried all the time and most days just wished I was dead. The only way I knew to numb the pain was to use food. But this only compounded the problem as I got more frustrated at myself for not being able to control what I ate or to lose weight. This deep frustration and anger would eventually spill over into my parenting as I lost my temper with my children and would sometimes yell at them and think the most horrible things about them. Immediately, I would tell myself what a horrible person I was and that I didn't deserve to live. I was in a constant state of near combustion. The pain finally got too great. In the midst of all the mess, I would try to turn to the Lord and trust Him, but I wasn't getting better. I had absolutely no peace. So I started going to counseling, got on medication for postpartum depression, and in October of 2010, walked through the doors to attend Watermark's recovery program for the first time. I had so much to work through that I felt completely overwhelmed and that I would never heal or get better. But I kept coming each week, and God was so faithful every step of the journey. I admitted for the first time that I was completely addicted to food. I had so much unforgiveness in my heart and didn't even realize it. I also began to realize that at the heart of all my issues was a deep insecurity. I did not believe that I was valuable and did not understand God's unconditional love for me. For 30 years, I had been trying to earn God's love. I was trying to perform to these expectations that I had set up for myself. They weren't God's expectations, and they weren't healthy. I expected myself to be perfect, and instead of repenting quickly when I would mess up, I would beat myself up and run from God. This made steps 2 and 3 very difficult for me. I had lots of knowledge about God's love and forgiveness, but in my heart, I didn't truly believe that he loved and forgave me. So until that really started to sink in, turning my life and will over to the care of God was such a battle. I still needed to believe in my heart that he wanted good for me, that he was trustworthy, and that he truly loves me. Through the recovery program, I also began to learn to sit with the pain. For so long, I had been numbing my feelings with food, busyness, TV, and other things. Taking away these old comforts brought about quite a bit of anxiety. It was incredibly difficult to think about the past and to work through the pain with the Lord and to allow him to comfort me. But he did, and he began to heal my heart. One of the most freeing steps for me was steps 8 and 9, the amends process. I finally forgave my parents for the past, as well as let go of expectations I had of them to be a certain way in the present. This is when I finally began to have some peace, and I really started making progress in my recovery. I started reading scripture differently and tried to look for what it said about how God viewed me and others. I also began to hand over the food struggles, though it has been an up-and-down battle. I was often shocked at what an incredible hold food has on my heart. But with the Lord's strength and help, the hold is loosening. I am learning that he is enough. He is the only one who will truly bring comfort and peace. I'm learning that my worth is not defined by how I look, by how others think of me, or by how I perform. I am worthwhile and valuable because God created me, because I am his. I am a daughter of God, and this means everything. Romans 8:15-16 are verses that I have clung to during the recovery process. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Currently, I have the privilege of leading a group through the STEP studies, which also means that I get to go through the material again. This has been pivotal in my recovery as the Lord continues to open my eyes and work on new areas of struggle. As I begin to see God based on truth rather than my previous false beliefs, I am finding a freedom in my relationship with him. When I sin, I am quicker to confess and turn away from the sin rather than running from him and beating myself up like I used to. I'm also quicker to confess my sin and seek forgiveness when I've hurt my husband. By forgiving my parents and letting go of the bitterness I had toward them, I'm also experiencing a newfound freedom in my relationship with them. It has allowed me to see that my attitude as an adult was a big part of the problem. I had reconciled with my dad in college, and he apologized for the past. I thought I had forgiven him, but over time I allowed bitterness and unforgiveness to creep in. I wanted my parents to act and treat me a certain way. I questioned their love for me, but once I let go of the anger and forgave, I was able to see things more clearly. They showed me they loved me and cared for me all the time, especially through acts of service. But for so long, I just wanted them to do and say certain things to make me feel secure. I would interpret everything they and others said and did through the lens of insecurity. The ironic thing about insecurity is that though you don't think much of yourself, you end up only thinking about yourself. I was constantly questioning how someone viewed me. Did they think what I just said was stupid? Did they think I was smart or pretty? Did they think I was a good mom or friend or daughter? I based how I felt about myself on how I thought others viewed me. This insecurity and self-focus only led to pain. But the Lord has been teaching me to place my identity and security in him. I have pages of verses written in a journal, verses that talk about how much God loves me and how valuable I am to him. Verses such as 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I grew up hearing about Jesus dying on the cross for my sins, but during this recovery process, I have come to truly understand it as God's ultimate expression of love for us, for me. I kept looking for certain things to prove that God loves me, but people and circumstances, or even how I feel, will never prove that. What I had missed was that God had already proved it. I cannot say that I would ever allow my little boy, my son, to be tortured and killed for the sake of others, but that's exactly what God did for me and for you because of his great love for us. He created us. He gave us the ability to choose, and so we sin and choose things other than him. But God longs for a relationship with us, and he has provided that way through the death and resurrection of his son. Our sin deserved death, and so Jesus died for us because he loves us. The concept of living one day, just 24 hours at a time, has been difficult for me to grasp. But what a difference it makes when I choose to live this life one day at a time and to hand over my pain, insecurity, and struggles to the Lord one day at a time. I tend to struggle with worrying and tend to think about all sorts of bad things that could happen in the future. And so this approach to life has been very freeing for me. I'm still learning how to do this, but it feels much more possible to be sober for my struggles with food or insecurity for 24 hours rather than the focus on being sober for a month or year or longer. It's about daily, moment-by-moment surrender. When I surrender to Him, I have peace. When I choose to do what I want to do, I quickly begin to be angry and frustrated. So I am learning to just trust Him and surrender all areas of my life to His care and control. And when I try to take back control, I'm learning to turn to the Lord in repentance rather than run from Him. The recovery process has also taught me the value of being vulnerable with others. I was always very good at allowing others to see only what I was comfortable with. I wanted others to think I had it all together and that I was strong and independent, but this isn't how we're meant to live. The process has not been easy, but I have become much more vulnerable with my husband, my friends, and I'm starting to do that with my family as well. Though it was uncomfortable at first, and after I shared something, insecurity would try to creep in as I started to worry about what others thought of me, but God was using it to free me from the insecurity. I keep sharing, and others keep accepting and loving me. Others are walking alongside me through this journey, and I am learning to become more vulnerable each day. There is still a lot of work to do, but the fact that I'm on this stage sharing my testimony is proof of the Lord's grace and work in my life. If this is your first time here tonight, I pray that you will have a story of God's grace and work in your life. It is no accident that you are here in this place at this time. One of my professors taught me perhaps the single most important lesson I could have learned while at seminary. Did you know that you cannot separate yourself from God's love? Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing in creation can separate us from God's love, and we are part of that creation. You can run from the Lord, but you can never separate yourself from His love. He loves you. I pray that you allow His love to change the course of your life, and I pray that you will experience His love for you as He uses others around you in this program to love and accept you. You are in a safe place. One of my favorite authors, Elizabeth Elliot, reminds us that in every circumstance in life, we have two choices. We can either clench our fists and fight it and fight God, or we can open our hands wide and accept, even embrace, what He gives. I pray you will open your hands wide and let Christ change and heal your heart. It's the only path to peace. Thanks for letting me share.